Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
On that first Christmas morn, God sent the second person of the Godhead, had him born of the Virgin Mary, so that he might die on the cross for those who were in every way repulsive, sinful, and deserving of his wrath. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's have a holly jolly mailbag.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hoping you're having a happy holidays. Okay, speaking of happy holidays, just to be a curmudgeon for a second, Friel, it's never a second, was watching Michael Bublé on the TV. I think it was Monday night because the football games. Oh, man. Come on, Vikes. You should have been able to mop the floors with the Bears. Wasn't a very exciting game, nor was the Atlanta-Oakland Raiders game. Zoink, Scoob. What was the final score on that game?
Well, Atlanta beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, well, they should.
Who changed this?
They moved to Las Vegas a couple years ago.
Donald Trump has got to fix it. It's the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. This is not the America I grew up in. It's Las Vegas Raiders?
Uh-huh.
All righty.
15-9.
See, that's a snooze score. You can just tell. Oh, there's a bunch of field goals. So I'm flipping around. I find the Michael Bublé, an affable fellow who sings well. And it's the very end of the program. And he's sitting on a stool with the kids' choir behind him. And he thanks everybody on his, please note, it said right there on the screen, Michael Bublé Christmas Special. It had the word Christmas. I didn't find the word holiday anywhere in the Michael Bublé Christmas Special. I want to thank the band, and I want to thank all the people and the producers, and most of all, I want to thank you. Happy holidays. And then they sang Silent Night. It's Christmas, Michael. You can say it. You're not going to offend the people watching. It's called a Okay, I'm done for now. We could do a special on being a Christmas curmudgeon. I think both of us could probably contribute a lot to that program. No. Please send stuff, whatever it happens to be, to idea@wretched.org. Why are you?
Don't drag me into your mess.
Do you? Come on, it just drives me bonkers. It's a Christmas. I get it. You want to be inclusive. Not on a Christmas special. If you're doing a ho-ho holiday special, fine. I'm not going to be offended. I don't know why you're doing it this time of year. It just coincidentally coincides with Christmas, but not during a Christmas special. Come on, Michael Bublé, wherever you spell that. And please text 877-282-2337.
Well, here is one from Anonymous who texted, Todd, am I being a legalist by not wanting there to be a pool table or ping pong table in my church's high school room?
Do they explain why they don't want it in there?
No.
I know. It's Robert Preston is the anonymous writer. He was the music man.
Yeah.
And pool tables were very, very bad in the music man. Mm. That was his shtick. He came to town. They were putting in a pool table and he persuaded the parents of River City that their kids are in danger. They're going to become juvenile delinquents if they let them play that balk line game. And so he sells some band instruments to keep them out of the pool hall. So I guess you're right. It's a sin if you're Robert Preston. But other than that, I don't think it has to be a sin. I think playing games, I get having entertainment and amusements at church because it can be a place of just hanging out. I think that's a good thing that we cultivate that about the church. At Alpharetta Bible Church, we do not yet do small groups. And if that happens and that's what people want to do, I say, cool. My preference is it's the church. Let's be in this building. I know the church isn't a building, but we call it a church nevertheless. That we're all together. This is where we hang. This is our community center. That the church is the place where we gather to do life stuff, do Bible studies, and play pool and ping pong. 877-282-2337.
I think I'd say I understand, but I don't think pool halls are as prevalent as they once were. So a child playing pool, he's not going to wind up...
I don't even think of a pool hall.
Right, but I think that's probably why the there's such a negative connotation.
Okay, I'm thinking about the music, man. That's what he said. They're slinking off to the pool hall.
Right, right.
And they're going to be playing where they sink balls into the pockets and they'll be gambling.
Yeah.
That was, I don't think that when I see a pool table anymore. Right. I don't know that I ever did. It's just a game. And I like throwing darts. Now, if there's gambling going on, something illicit that I'm not aware of, sure, then it would be a sin. But as far as just having an amusement, I also understand Robert Preston's concern about it, because it's like, hey, we're supposed to be youth doing Bible. That's not the fun and games. Maybe that's what's perhaps causing the consternation. It's like, this is not a rec center. You're supposed to be learning stuff. Maybe the issue isn't that there's a pool table and a ping pong table, but maybe the youth programs aren't as robust as you think they should be. And you're feeling like, great, one more thing to distract the kids from memorizing Bible verses and being catechized, which you should do. You've got to have the kids memorize stuff now. See, I can remember the Music Man from, well, let's just say a long time ago, because I learned it a long time ago. But if I had to learn it today, forget about it. Same thing with Bible verses. You have the kids memorize them now while they can, before it's too late. And they end up playing a balk line game and becoming a gambler at a horse track, which I think was also Robert Preston's accusation. Please send stuff to 877-282. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. When your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knees? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger, a dime novel hidden in the corn crib? See, those normal things. Well, he's heading to the pool table, and then he's going to be betting on a horse race.
Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's Whiz Bang?
Whiz Bang, yeah. Yeah, Cap'n Billy's Whiz Bang. Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cat and Billy? Well, if so, my friends, you got trouble. Is that the next line?
Are certain words creeping
into his... Yeah, go ahead. Are certain words...
creeping into his conversation.
Words like swell. And so's your old man. Well, if so, my friends... Boom, boom. I'm done now. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous as well. It seems like the moment the first chord or note is struck, so many people throw their hands in the air.
Yeah.
Why? Is this genuine or just trendy? Not that I have not at times during a song raised my hands to the Lord, but from the first note to the last?
I don't know what's going on in everybody's heart. If I had to guess, in probably more instances than not, it's just a reactionary thing. That's what we do. That droning music comes on or the drum kicks in and you put your hands up because that's what worship just looks like. And they're perhaps just fashioned to do that. But I wouldn't say that that's everybody. There could be somebody who is in your church and they're actually excited about being there. And maybe they know this hymn. Or they've been wanting to praise the Lord because something great was delivered by our kind giver of all good gifts. And the music kicks and they're there. They're there. I wouldn't say that everybody who does that is not genuine. I think some people are, but it is a trend, isn't it? And the music just kind of forces that out of you, doesn't it? And you see that even at the rock concerts. They put their, it's like, hey, they're at a worship service. They're putting their hands up and it's kind of just a trend, frankly. Having said that, I think the Bible actually endorses raising your hands for prayer or for worship. I think the body can be involved in worship, kneeling down, total obeisance on your face, standing up, sitting down. It all communicates something. And we see that in the Bible, that men would pray with their hands raised. That nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to automatically mean, oh, you're a member of Bethel Church in Redding, California. Doesn't necessarily mean that. It could mean something good. And there, I'll tell you, I think that if you're concerned about your church being what people, it's a wrong moniker, but we all get what it means. Oh, that's a place of dead orthodoxy. They just sing those old hymns. Even the old hymns should elicit, it can elicit, I should say, something physical from us. And I don't think that's bad. I think I mentioned this when it happened. Joe and Olga, they sit, typically they're two chairs because they've got them marked at our church. They sit right to my left, like just the row right behind me. And I couldn't help but notice, I looked over during one of our hymns, he had his hands raised. And that can be scandalous for us. It's like, whoa, 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 you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can do that. You want to do it decently. You want to do it in order. You don't want it to be a show. But if it's coming out of your heart that you want to show God, I'm lifting this up to you. You are worthy. And I'm willing to look stupid because you're so magnificent. I don't care what people think. I want to express my love for you in every way possible. And if that includes raising hands, then I say, raise your hands. Just be careful you're not doing it for a show, because we've all seen that too much. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing, while others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on. I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like one of those too-good-to-be-true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight-up dollar-for-dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money-multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not a wholesome trotting race, but a race where they sat down right on the horse. I'd like to see some stuck-up Dan Patch sitting on a horse. I am so sorry. We're on. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff, please, to idea@wretched.org. It's getting fuzzier for me, Jimmy. I used to have that memorized. It's kind of going. That's what happens, apparently, when you're over 40. And you can also text 877-282. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch. Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in the table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Yep, that's right.
Did I do okay?
You did, yeah.
All righty then. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Recently, Todd, my church has been discussing getting a bulletproof pulpit for the pastor. I have concerns that this will be a distraction to the focus on God's word. What is the biblical perspective on how far to go with providing worldly protection versus living by faith?
Wisdom. That's all. Wisdom. Not going to be specific because wisdom needs to be applied. It depends on where you live. It depends on who the pastor is. It depends on what YouTube videos people might see that could cause them to come into the church and aim for the guy. It's not a common occurrence, but it does happen. So I understand a church wanting to protect its people and its pastor. We just saw that, didn't we, at the Christian school? Honestly. And by the way, speaking of that particular shooting in Madison, Wisconsin, can we please start talking about other issues? I'm happy to talk about guns all you want, mostly by concession, but I'm happy to talk about it. Can we talk about some other things? Like, what was the social diet? What was the media diet of that 15-year-old that shot little kids at a Christian school? Oh, I know the answer to that. She loved to watch the Columbine killer videos. She was in the fan club. She was into that horrid music that it. Once upon a, it wasn't that long ago, I had an article in my stack. I tossed it out because I thought, well, I haven't used it in a week or two. I'll just get rid of it. That's kind of the rule. If you don't use something within a week, just you're not going to use it. So just clean your desk and get rid of it. And it was an article about all of the kids who are big fan of the Dylan Klebold and whatever, Eric, whatever the other kid's name was. Like, what? There's like fan clubs for these murderers? And they follow them and well, that 15-year-old was a big fan and followed all of these different school shooting websites. What kind of a society are we that we even allow such a thing? And see, that's just why it's not good that people in power aren't Christians, because a non-Christian would find that just, well, that's a violation of free speech. No, that's wisdom. You don't put up videos and you don't have websites that promote mass school shootings. So how's about we talk guns? How's about we talk about digital diet? How's about we talk about SSRIs? Any prescriptions involved with that school shooting? How's about we talk about worldview? It seems like she was a feminist deluxe. She hated men. Let's talk about it, Hillary. Let's talk about these other things that contribute to this. Now, I can't recall because it's been a number of years since I Googled this. Jimmy, maybe you could, I'm sure you could find it. The listing of all of the school shootings, there were some that predated Columbine. But in 1999, Columbine really set off a rash of school shootings. Why? Why? We've all heard the stories. We used to carry guns to school and go hunting after school. No problem. Had a gun rack in the pickup truck. I didn't even have a license, but nobody seemed to care. And we had guns in the back and nobody ever shot anybody up. And those stories are true. And doesn't mean that violent acts didn't happen. We had assassinations. We did have people misuse guns. There's no question about it, but ain't nothing like what we are seeing since 1999. What has changed? Could we talk about daycare and its effects? Why not? It's a contributing factor to how a child is formed. Let's talk about these issues. Because something has changed, something is different. And all of these people who bellyache, well, you know, Christians, it kept people in the closet and they couldn't be frisky like dogs in heat. And they were oppressive. Okay, that's the best you got. Let's take a look at the fruit of your worldview. People are getting shot up. We've got websites that celebrate mass murderers. What? My Christian worldview says those come down. Pornography, it's against the law. You'll go to jail or worse. That's easy for me. What does your worldview promote? Your worldview promotes smut. It has to. You see, this is why the media can't talk about these issues, because it compromises the integrity of their own depraved worldview. They can't talk about these things. We rely on Big Pharma for our psychotropic medications. We rely on big psychology. We need these things. We can't talk about this because I'm on it. My kids are we've been diagnosed. They can't talk about it. They've got personal interest at stake. And so they're not going to. And as long as I just brought up that subject, May next year, I was just in a meeting, so I should remember this more than the music man. It was we're going to call May. Ooh. Oh, no. No, we decided not to do that because that's going to be the resource. Greg Gifford was in studio. He delivered 10 lectures, I believe, on life without the numb. The feeling that people get that Huey Lewis knew about. Do you remember that song from the 80s, I Want a New Drug? One that won't make me sick. One that won't make me talk too much or make me feel 3 feet or 3 inches thick. That's the side effect of psychotropics. It makes you feel thick, numb, dull. And we can't possibly critique them. Well, in the month of May, we're going to release Life Without the Numb along with Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. It is, man, it's going to sizzle, and it's going to help people understand, maybe, just maybe, we've been looking to the wrong institution to help with emotional issues. Let's talk parenting, the permissive parenting that goes on. When you buy a kid, parents had to know, obsessed with school shooters, gave her a gun for her 15th birthday. Brilliant. So let's talk about parenting that doesn't want to be oppressive and control the children and tell them what to do. All righty, we just saw the fruit of that parenting style. Let's talk about these things. Because guns, and we'll talk about it, but not at the exclusion of everything else. Jimmy?
Yes?
That wasn't what the question was about, though, was it?
No, he was asking about bulletproof pulpits for his pastor.
It wasn't totally far afield.
No.
Just a little. It would be like the Pope Mobile. By the way, did you see Jimmy, I think we've got this in here, the Pope.
Mm-hmm,
right, I'm going to have to I hope I can see this. I'm going to have to translate this for you. You're going to hear the words Luterani, and you're going to hear Martin Luther and kind of an accent, because the Pope just said that justification is in total harmony between Catholics and Protestants because Martin Luther was right. Oh, man. Oh, I can't read this. Okay, well, basically, he sounded like this.
Io credo che le intenzioni di Martin Lutero...
Martin Luther was right.
Non erano sbagliate.
The Catholics and Protestants are now together on this important doctrine of justification. What? What? The Pope has become a Lutheran? Well, maybe, maybe not. What are the implications of this? The answer is probably not much, because the Pope can speak all he wants, and unless it's ex cathedra, it doesn't change church dogma. There would have to be a council, and if the council would then state that justification is grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, then guess what? The entire Catholic Church would crumble, because they would be contradicting a former council and a long line of popes who taught grace plus works, which is not what Martin Luther taught at all. Interesting. I'm glad he's maybe stumbling into a truth about grace being a totally free gift from God. But I don't expect the entire Catholic Church to change. Although I will say this. There are some Catholic churches out there, I think, that are preaching grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Now, I don't know what they're doing with Mary. I don't know how they view the office of the papacy, but I do know that there are some that do believe that grace, that the gift of God of salvation and everlasting life, totally free. those are the churches that probably don't have Pope Mobile plexiglass around the pulpit. You didn't think I was going to get back to it, did you? Do I think that you should do that? I think wisdom should dictate it based on a variety of circumstances, at the same time trusting the Lord. Could it be a distraction? That would be what I would weigh. How much in danger is the guy? Is this realistic, or is this maybe somebody who's got a little bit of an ego thinking that somebody can, you can't get shot because he's the, well, pastor, we, I read a great line in an article. We are all temporary. We are all transitional. The Lord is just going to keep building his church, and we're going to come and we are going to go. And maybe the pastor needs a realignment in thinking about his role in the context of that church, but it might be wise. So I would leave it up to the elders. Submit to that, because this would not be an issue that would cause me to leave a church. This is Wretched Radio.